Welcome, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, cats and dogs, Dave and Dash. Welcome to episode 233 of the podcast, which I think we have a very fitting name for this, huh?
Walgani. Yes, man, he just doesn't cease to impress us this season, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just built different.
So is his girlfriend. Colin knows it. He never ceases to remind us of that. The love is here. We are talking Walgani tonight. I'm Dave. I'm back as well. I took a couple days off, but me and Dash, we're gonna break Calgary down. I guess a little public service announcement. I didn't watch it live because I was away this weekend. So I do have a slightly different perspective watching it on a replay, also knowing the score ahead of time, because I can't not know what the score was. So that being said, Dash, man, how was it this weekend?
Oh, well, I mean, we couldn't do a watch along because the funny thing was I had a couple of catering orders at the family's restaurant for some events that were going on. And I was just like, oh, damn, there's no way in hell I can get away from this. Because one of them was for like 100 people. The other one was for like 150. So I was just like, yeah. So a funny thing that I did was I had this 24-inch TV that I had in our storage room there. And then I found a mount, a pivoting wall mount.
Nice.
For $10 at one of these like treasure hunt stores. And yeah. I had the screws, I had the drill and all the drill bits and all that other junk. And I drilled it in to the wall in the prep area while I was doing my catering order. I had an extra fire stick, plopped a fire stick on that TV and just watched it while I was prepping. So, you know, it's modern problems, modern solutions. But it was a very interesting game. The Colin show, if you watch it on YouTube, I think we went for 2 hours and 12 minutes where we were just talking about the game and just talking about certain aspects to it. But it's one of those, like, and I think the recurring theme and the recurring feeling that I've seen so far from everybody is like, we're a contending team, but it doesn't feel like we're a contending team. Like, you get what I'm feeling?
Yeah. And I did listen to most of that podcast there, the post-game show, about an hour and a half. And I mean, excellent points from you, Dash, and everyone that joined in as well. Like that, you guys there. And if you guys don't know, post-game, we do a call-in show on YouTube. You don't have to be over there for the watch along. I know, especially us old guys, we don't like watching the YouTube watch along. We like just watching the commentation on the television. That's cool. We still have the call-in show. Jump in. And man, I was thoroughly entertained. And it is actually nice once in a while to kind of just sit back and be the fan that can just listen for once, just to have that entertainment value. So well done from everyone, Dash and the crew, all our fans out there. Who do we have? Sal, that was a first timer, I believe.
Yeah, that was a first timer for Sal. And then obviously recurring with Jeff and Colin. And, you know, Jeff's a little bit famous now. He was the special guest for one of Beppe's streams.
Yes,
so,
that is right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was funny. He was like, he said it during the stream, or I think it was post stream. I don't remember, but I remember him physically saying it. He's like, I'm not going to lie. He's like, because I've been doing this so much, I kind of got better at doing these. So he's like, I was nervous as hell when I hopped on Beppe's stream, but he's like, at least I had the background of like doing it with you guys for so many times. And then I kind of hit him with a, well, oh wow, you're blatantly saying that you're happy that you cheated on us. And he's like, it's like, no. But it's all fun and games. It's all banter.
No, he's having fun. He's enjoying it. He's getting involved in the community, different channels, different levels. So, I mean, that's what we promote, right? It's not just us. There's a whole community out there. We're just a small piece of the English community. There's obviously Spanish, French, obviously right in Italy, of course, right? So, I mean, enjoy it all. And if you speak multiple languages, even better, because there's more platforms you can get out there and enjoy for yourself.
Yeah, like hell, if our listeners or followers end up making it big or breaking out and doing UVA content, just remember where you guys came from. I'm just kidding.
yeah, go on. Try and take the credit.
Nah, I know I'm just being petty, but you know, it's awesome though, right? Because it's like, we're giving a lot of Juventini voices, essentially. We're, you know, we don't have any strings attached or anything like that. You want to come in and speak your piece, speak your piece. If you speak facts, you'll come on again. More people will start listening to you and people will like you. I mean, like Colin being one of them, Misak is another person as well. Shout out to him. So it's like when you come in and you're speaking stuff and you're, you know, and obviously Dave and I are going to stop you if you're speaking some nonsense. But like if you can have those conversations, because like the idea is like Dave and I aren't only putting people on that agree with us, right?
There's been disagreements for sure.
There's been plenty. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like being a straight shooter where we're hitting straight to the point. Like, hey, look, if you want to debate Dash on how Dusan's the greatest striker in the world, hop on. Dash will welcome you to it. Or for example, this is going to be fun because I know that there's different. And this is kind of going in hand with the game a little bit, right? Where it's like, have we improved? Have we not improved? Is this sustainable? Is this not sustainable? So like in the call-in shows, especially the previous one to that, the Fiorentina one, where you got to see Colin and Misak go at it head to head by saying, this isn't really good. That's really good. So there's a plethora of opinions, a plethora of ideas that we always offer and we try to offer. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, I urge you take a peek into the YouTube for that stuff. Hop in, be part of the conversation. Or if you are YouTube people just listening on Spotify, just listen on YouTube. YouTube's better quality.
And I know not too many people use this, but it is an option for people. Most of our long form content, so this, for instance, the post game shows, I also label it as a podcast on YouTube. And that way, if you use YouTube music, like the five of you out there, I'm one. So the rest of you four. Yeah. I mean, just it's there as well for on audio format. So please check that out as well. But I mean, Let's get into Calgary because we've been avoiding it. Let's dive in.
Yeah, we have. So this was a slow burner in a sense. Like the stats say one thing and then watching it says another thing, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm looking at the stats, right, it's 49% possession. Juve had an expected goals of 2.35. They had 18 total shots, 4 on target, 5 big chances, 3 big chances missed. And then it's like about 311 passes, 12 corners. So if this is without me telling you the scoreline, you're probably thinking 3-4-0, right? Like from an initial thought.
Yeah, for most teams, for Juve, it'd be like 2-0, 2-0.
A
couple goals.
And then you look at Cagliari's and it's 0.58 expected goals. 11 shots, 2 on target, 0 big chances missed.
They really only had that one opportunity.
Exactly, right? So when you're looking at it, and this is kind of the idea, which is going to furthermore, and we're going to continue this discussion in other episodes and other things about, you know, statistically being offensive, right? Statistically creating chances versus like nauseating terror ball. So on the eye test or on the field, it was terrible, right? Like sit back, let them create, let them do their thing and then hit them and be more concise. Mm-hmm. But the scoreline's 2-1. So you're sitting there and you're like, what the hell? Like, how do we not have more? Because generally when you have an expected goals of 2.35, you tend to score twice as much. Because there's this little like unwritten rule for football statisticians that would like to say is like, you take your expected goals and you double it. So like, for example, Kyrie got one goal. Their expected goal is about 0.58. So they got one. So double it, essentially. Juve, 5 big chances. So that means you had an opportunity to score 5 goals. You missed 3 of them.
And we usually get 1 or 0 big chances per game. So 5, that's pretty big for us.
Yes. Yeah, so the scoreline and the stats and the numbers say you dominated. When you're watching it, it says a totally different story. And I think, and this one thing I think is going to be the main reason why we're not. So I looked up all last 7 matches that we played. And Dave, I'm going to ask you this because I don't know if you read it or not. If you read it, damn it, my joke's over. But in these past 7 matches, how many strikers have scored a goal? So between yeah, you watched the call.
I know this.
that was the joke, but some of these people on the pod might not have watched the call-in show. But so between Chiesa, Keane, Milik, and Dusan, how many of them scored in the last 7 games?
I know Milik was one of them for sure.
So Milik was the eighth game. So zero.
Oh, the eighth game. Right. Okay. Because, so yes, it was all defenders and Locatelli, who's the defensive midfielder, who usually plays as another center back.
Yeah. So yes. The only air quotes, if like, for example, even Cambiasso scored, and Cambiasso is a fullback / wingback, and then Miretti as well. But Chiesa, Keane, Dusan, and Milik have not scored a single goal in 7 matches.
Yeah, that, which is wild. And it's shown though in like the eye test as well.
Yeah, and that to me is extremely appalling, right? Because your forwards, it's gotten like, for example, this game, heavy touches. As much as I love Keane, heavy touches. Keane had some bust touches when he had some opportunities. Like, he's got to get that a little bit more under control. Chiesa, he's able to extend, stretch the field, but even him finishing. Yeah, it might be offside or not, but there's a rule. Offside or not, you put that sucker in the net, and he missed that one wide right, or wide left, actually. Where there
was offside a lot, wasn't he?
He was, but the play that he missed the shot in, I think Kostic might have been off, but they never reviewed it because it was a goal kick, right? So it's like, to none the wiser.
But there was a lot of those, like, if they watched the one back, he was probably off.
And then Dusan and Milik at this point, like, they're just, you know, they're there for garbage time or to close a game out, which is ironic when you have an $85 million striker that's there for garbage time. But look, that to me is props on Allegri, because Allegri's like, hey, man, you got to earn your keep. Like, I don't care what your price tag is at this point. We need some production. He gave him,
like, what was it, 4 or 5 games of starting?
Yeah.
And he didn't produce. So, and I thought that I was yelling. I think a lot of us were yelling. Towards the end of his starting tenure, that, like, why isn't King playing? Finally, the decision was made. So he was given ample time to prove himself.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because, like, you'll see the arguments on Twitter now. They're like, well, how is Dusan going to prove himself now that he's not getting minutes? It's called
chance training. Is lost, man. Yeah, he lost his chance. That's why.
Yeah, you lost it.
Like, you were given the chance and you blew it. So you sit on the bench. Next guy up.
Yeah, and the other thing with it too is, like, hey, he lost it. Now he's got to earn it back in training, like Keane did, and then be effective with those 15 minutes.
And Keane didn't have the greatest game, so maybe try hard in training. You might get that back.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to play, or you don't need to start to prove yourself, guys. You need to make do with what you have and what time you have left. I mean, like, Dusan had a great dribble on the left side of the field that amounted to nothing, but, like, again, it's lackluster. Like, it depends on what your skill is as far as, like, what you're looking for. But, like, for me right now, my skill at him, my expectations are at zero. So him doing some of the stuff that he did, I was like, okay, cool. We have life. You know, that's kind of it. And that to me is kind of disappointing when, like, you have to reduce your expectations to that point. And guys, don't give me an excuse that it's the tactics or it's the system, because our strikers are not lethal. They are not deadly. At the top of the box, they need way too many chances to score a goal. At this point, your defenders are saying, F it, I'm going for it. Bremer, one chance, one goal. Walgani had better offensive positioning than our strikers did.
Well, let's bring it up the pitch a little bit then, because there is the argument, and you can't say it is all the strikers' fault. Yes, it is their job to put in the net. Their final touch has been poor, but the midfield has been, I don't know, who would you say is worse, the midfielders or our attackers? Who's losing this race defense, right now?
They're both arguably bad, right? Defensively, the midfield does what it needs to do. Like, for example, McKennie, the amount of ground that man covers, awesome. He's able to go all the way back down, win the ball back, and then start the attack the opposite direction. Locatelli, defensively, awesome. Reads, anticipates, tackles. Kudos to him. He played with a broken or a fractured rib in that match since like the 6th minute. So, hey, man, kudos. Defensively, gritty. I love it. But it kind of shows, right, where it's like Allegri was trying that offensive, that free-flowing ball, and then he just kind of saw these guys aren't defensive and we're conceding too much on the back end. So he kind of switched it back to this tedious, this terror ball-esque, because he just doesn't have confidence in his forwards, right? And right now Allegri's like, hey, my defenders are solid, Gatsby's solid. Bremer's solid. Walgani's solid. Danilo's solid.
He's playing to his strengths.
Yeah, as much as you guys want to debate and argue that he's mediocre, but he's still mediocrely solid.
Well, you got to read some Sun Tzu then, right? The Art of War.
Yep.
You got to play to your strengths and attack your enemy's weaknesses.
Exactly. So right now, if you look at this entire roster, your strength is your back line. It is your defenders. And you can argue with this too. Your wingbacks are also a strength that you have. I guess Filip Kostić decided to say, hey, I'm going to not suck anymore, metaphorically. And he's just going to
not suck in real life, because on paper he was great.
On paper he was great, but like, holy hell, man.
But no, he has picked it up the past
couple games. He has. Defensive work rate's been great. His offensive contributions have been great. Again, he's starting to find some consistencies in his crosses instead of spamming them.
Yeah.
Cambiasso as well. I mean, in transition, moving the ball, covering, making coverages, taking smart fouls, because he stopped a 3-on-1 fast break in the second half by taking a very smart tactical foul there by just yanking the guy back. So being able to do that, McKennie as well, being able to invert and interchange with Cambiasso on the right side, great work there. Obviously, Weah's hurt, so there's not really that much film on him. I thought Illing came in, made his cameo, did a decent job. Again, I'm not really having too much expectations because he doesn't have that much continuity. But looking at the midfield and the forwards, it's like those are the only ones underperforming. And the issue is, and this is where I want to talk to these people that are like, oh, it's the tactics, it's Allegri ball. Guys, you can't, like, for example, there's two things, right? If your guys are lethal and deadly, this game would have been 5-1 if they were, you know, at the tip top of their consistency with finishing. This game is 5-1 with the opportunities that they created. But it wasn't, because Keane, two heavy touches in the box, was smothered by the goalkeeper. If Keane had a closer touch, that'd be two goals right there. Mm-hmm. Chiesa with the one that he sent wide left. If he was able to move that into the net, that's your third goal. And then it's 5-1. The issue is you can't, so to get these guys, so the issue is their conversion percentage is terrible. So for these guys, they need to take X amount of shots. So to give these guys, like for example, to give these guys their threshold of getting 10 shots, you have to play players forward. You have to play players out of certain areas, expose space, leave yourself open just to get these guys the ball to get moving, to get doing things, because they're not decisive. What is that sacrifice?
So this game, we did see a lot more chances. It was actually a little more exciting than the previous
Oh, absolutely. Way better than Fiorentina.
So we know the strikers weren't finishing. Where were those chances created from then?
Wingbacks.
All the wingbacks. All the defense. So when I think that's kind of a joke, right? You go on to FIFA or FC24 and you go and you pick your team and they give you out of 5 stars for offense, defense, and goalkeeper.
Defense is 5 stars.
Yeah, it's 5 stars and then offense.
Everything
is
one else star. Is everything else is one.
Yeah, it's like 1-1-1-5. Well, tech, obviously, you got to give them like a 4 or something, right? But
yeah, because like for example, Locatelli offensively is not that great.
He still has a goal.
He still has a goal,
that's
but
more than still, Keane.
Yeah, that's true. That's more than Keane, and that's tied with Milik.
Milik has 2, doesn't he?
Does he have 2, or does he have 1?
Yeah, he's got 2.
That's still low, because when you're looking at, if you're looking at it from a statistical standpoint, so Juve is in second place right now. They've only scored 19 goals, or Inter has scored 29. Milan's got 20,
and they still only have 5 conceded, and we're now up at 6, and that kills me.
Yeah, no, it changed. So they have 6 conceded. We have 7 now.
Oh, sorry. Off by 1. But yes, they're still beating us in the plus and minus. So if we tie with, well, doesn't matter. But if we were to be in a tied state, they're still
in. They've got goal differential. Technically, if we were to tie and we say that we beat them and we tie, that means we have the head-to-head on them. But
yes, yeah, depending. Well, next game. I mean, that's I'm starting to get excited for that one already.
I know. To be honest. It's only like 13 days away, but
I know there's an international break before the Derby d'Italia. It's killing me.
I know. unfortunately, we aren't really lucky with international breaks. Cambiaso with a swollen ankle and Locatelli with the rib. So, yikes. Yes,
a few knocks already. But that being said, we typically do well post-international break. But stats are always broken. So, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be exciting nonetheless. Something I was thinking as I was driving home today, listening to things. The rest of the table is starting to fall off. We have, is it 5 points back from third place now?
No. Or wait, with Milan?
Yeah. I should have had this on the top.
I got it on the top. No worries, Dave. We are. We're actually 6 points.
6 points. Okay. So even if we lose next weekend, and I know this is like the defeatist mentality, but I'm thinking long game. We lose next weekend, Inter. They go 5 ahead. We still have a game buffer to third. And we're still solidly in two. We're still in a point where we can launch attacks and carry on because we're only a third through the season, right? So as a loss next weekend, although would like ruin my whole weekend. Luckily, it's at the end of the weekend, so I just have to hate Monday. But, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. I don't know. Obviously, I want to win at the end of the day. That's no joke, but...
It's interesting how like consistently the table's fallen off. So like, for example, we're at 29, Milan's at 23, Napoli's at 21, Atalanta is at 20. So we have a 9-point gap with fifth place.
Just so, dropped off completely the last couple of weeks, just opened up.
You want to know a team that's extremely dropped off has been Sassuolo. They beat us and Inter back to back and like haven't won since.
They were in, what, 16th?
15th.
50, like, man. That's the crazy thing. Bottom, like from 20th to 10th, is only a few points as well. Like if one of those bottom feeders get a couple wins, they're right mid-table.
Pretty much. I mean, you look at it, though, it's just interesting how the squads have gone at this point. So like, for example, if you go between, I want to say 18th to about 15th, it's a 3-point difference.
Yeah, it's really tight.
And then from 14th to... 9th, it's a 3-point difference. So like nine to about, it's the mid and lower table teams. Like, it's hard for people to make that argument. Oh, it's a low, it's a relegation club. There's like 6 relegation clubs at this point. Like,
it's messy Lazio, down there.
And Lazio is one of those mid table teams that is like well below the table, but it depends on what the expectations are, right? So with Allegri and Giuntoli's expectations of top four, they are well ahead of expectations. I mean, a 9-point buffer going into this to the derby, well above anyone's expectations. I think the one thing that's really going to show the fans or show everyone in general what their intent is going to be January, right? And this was one of the things that I covered in the call-in show where I said, like, depending on who they pick up, the player that they pick up is going to show you what they think they are. My only concern is that all of our big games that we play for the rest of the year are at home. And that kind of pisses me off a little bit. So like, for example, we have Napoli at home. We have Roma at home. We have Inter at home. And I'm just not a big fan of that because...
Yeah, you like to spread it out a bit.
Yeah, but I also would like to, like, for example, sure, we got Inter at home, but we would have Napoli away or something like that, or Roma away, because my issue, because so if we look at it, all the air quotes people that we're contending with, the only teams that we played away was Atalanta and Milan. Everyone
else. Might play into our strategy, though, because if we do win all of our home games and then we go away and we're in a position where, say, we're in second or first, and they're all looking up to us, we can definitely play just that terrorist ball and lock them up. And I hate to say it, but you can play them to draws.
You can
still stay ahead of them. You still have that advantage.
But the big thing is the if, right? Like if we're in a position, and that's what's the concerning thing, because it's like, how many times for the past 2 or 3 seasons towards the final stretch of the season have we kind of just like, you know, like just kind of.
That's also being because Europe and Copa, we still have Copa, obviously. But yeah, we haven't had, we're still struggling with the grunt and the serviceability of our players, and we don't have Europe to worry about right now. So at least that factor is negated. So we'll see. we might be able to maintain a bit of momentum as the other teams that we're fighting for the top four are all in Europe.
Yeah. That's my only concern, right? Is just depth, because like we look at our starting 11, it's like maybe the only room that has depth is the striker department, but they're all underperforming like badly. But like, for example, midfield, if anyone gets hurt in the midfield, then what? Like, for example, say that Locatelli or Rabiot get injured, you're bummed.
Until you have Hans, if you can rely on that, maybe Yildiz, if you play with an advanced midfielder, perhaps. It's not great. Yeah. You do have some backup on defense. Sandro's coming back, of course, Danilo. So that's not horrible. I mean, if you had to, I don't know if you would want to, but if you actually, if you were in a real like wing back crisis, you could technically play Danilo. DeCilio might come back soon. I mean, this is stretching.
Your defense is fine. I think you're because also you have Dean Huijsen, who is officially promoted to the first team.
Sandro can play a wing back if you were like,
like
back to the wall kind of thing.
Right? And that kind of goes into what we had earlier, where we were saying our defense is our strength at this point.
Yeah. Like
the foundation is there.
It is pretty deep still. Yeah.
Like, I think if you're looking at the backbone of the team, based off the contract extensions, right now, three players that have been identified as your backbone are Gatti, Bremer, and Locatelli. Those are your three backbone players, your foundational players that Gentile has identified, because you can look at the contracts that they have till 2028, potentially giving Bremer 2029.
Rigotti's starting to make a bit of a case too, though.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to get his contract renewed just so then we can slot him in there, because Rugani is the same age as Barzagli when Barzagli first came to Juve. And remember, Barzagli came in at like 100K. Like, everyone was kind of down and out on him.
That's a good point, actually.
So I think Rugani, to me, as far as a defender, I think Rugani's matured a lot over the years. I mean, he's sat behind Bonucci and Chiellini for almost a decade, in a sense, just watching those guys and learning from them.
And he does have sort of that stoicism to him, right? Like that stoic defender and that personality. He's obviously just through osmosis absorbed a lot of this talent through Chiellini, the BBC, whatever. Right. And now that he's getting some consistent game time, he's allowed to put all his studies to practice. And I'm loving it, because has he ever had this consistent play time?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, not that I can remember.
He was like a patch-in option.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
So now that he has that consistency, call it recency bias. I don't know. Somebody call me out if I'm incorrect on this one, but Walgani, it's looking good.
I know. Walgani, ever since that Atalanta game that you and I were calling, we're like, hey, I think he turned a corner. Like, we said that a while ago.
So again, bright spots. There are definitely bright spots, but there's definitely tons of concern in this squad as well. It's just, again, like you started off with, we won, we keep on winning, but each week we're like, it still doesn't feel right.
So remember how I said during our Fiorentina talk, where I was like 1-0, like you need to be able to have a kill shot to go 2 up instead of relying on the 1-0. And you know, I said it takes one instance for all that hard defensive work to get wiped out if your guys can't put it away. Yeah. This game was a perfect example. They went up 2-0, and yeah, they scored. Like, you need it, right? You need to be able to have the ability to be decisive enough to put a 2-0. Because riding 1-0, yes, Allegri's good at it. Yes, you know, kind of like old school Italian and whatnot. The problem with 1-0 is teams that go up and hold a 1-0 are dangerous to where they punish you and you're afraid to attack irregularly. The one thing that I've noticed is none of the other team's opposing center backs feel threatened by our forwards. They don't respect them. Yeah. Like, you look at Cagliari's, they're pushing very high. They were high line with their center backs.
But again, it's almost like an inverse going the other way, because our defensive line is so strong that their forwards are scared to come forward because we punish them. So it's just, it's like black and white. It's Juve. It's black and white.
It is. So for that, and that being said, right, it's just outside of Chiesa, like, and I think he just needs something to get him going, because I think he's got the potential for a breakout. I just think he needs to hit it. Keen too, as well. Like Keen and Chiesa for me, I think are probably the best striking tandem that we have right now. From what I've seen,
they're the most dynamic.
Yes.
Again, Milik is what he is. Like we're not trashing him. He's the cheap option. He's our number four. He slots in, kills some minutes.
Milik's the guy that you want a shithouse goal from.
Yeah, and he's got a couple of them.
Yeah,
he's like, doing his job.
The Cambiaso goal is, you know, in theory, a Milik shithouse attempt.
Yeah.
Where he just pops out of nowhere and heads it and it goes off the bar and Cambiaso's there to put it in. Like, Milik is great for that because that's his role. That's his expectation. And I'm fine with that. Like, for example, I'm fine throwing him with the last 10, 15 minutes to get something going because he can. It's possible. He can do it.
You're getting value for his dollar.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't compare him to Vlahovic, for instance, because of his dollar value and what is expected of him. But there is not that much expected of Milik. Just come in, do some trash minutes, get some trash goals, good to go, right on, everyone's happy.
About a $2 million wage a season. Like, I mean, that's the least you can expect. The issue is, and with Dusan, it's more so like, if he wasn't worth that much money, I probably wouldn't be laying onto him as hard.
Yeah, and that's like, really what it is. And the fact, as you had also said in the post game, how he's not really entertaining the lower wages, the contract extension that they're trying to play out with him.
It is from CDS, from Corea del Sport.
It is what it is.
Take it as a grain of salt, but Juve want to extend him for an additional year or two, but without a raise. It's more so to spread his salary over X amount of years. And from what the newspaper said, they said that he wants nothing to do with that. So if anything, this kind of goes on, I think it was Colin's take where he said, you know, there's players that are mercenaries that are just trying to get their bag and leave. But that to me is what I find extremely frustrating, right? Where it's like, if you truly love Juve, you truly love the club. Yeah. If me taking a pay cut or if me taking a drop salary gives me a midfielder that supplies me, I'm good with it. Because, like, for example, with all due respect, I mean, yes, you signed the contract, Juve gave you the contract, but at this point, it kind of shows to me what your intentions are. You're more so all about yourself than you aren't with the squad, allegedly, right? This is just going off of if this is, you know, what's coming from this is true. Look, if I'm him, and this is me being very anecdotal by saying if I'm Dusan, but if I was Dusan, I would say, hey, look, we can negotiate, reduce my wage by 3 or 4 million, and we bring in Samardic, or something that, like, I know I can get someone to beef up my stats. Because, like, for example, if you're a good player, like if you're legit, you know that you can do it, bet on yourself and then your next contract will be bigger. Mm-hmm. That's usually how some of these players do, right?
Like you're more mature than perhaps.
I guess so. But it's one of those things, right? Where it's like, if you're capable of betting on yourself and say, look, I'll take, you know, X amount of dollars less. I'm not producing well. I'm not getting the service or I'm not getting this or that. What can I do to improve my chances? Like, this is me looking at it if I had Dusan's shoes, where I'd say, what do I need to do here? Because, like, for example, for him, this is very, very crucial in his career. Because right now, he is being compared to Christoph Piontek and Luka Jovic. Jovic.
Is he, or is it just you doing that?
No, there's people.
There's other people.
Okay. There's actually other people doing it, I was appalled. They're comparing him to those because what was Luka Jovic had a hot season with Frankfurt, went over to Real Madrid, and now he was on the bench at Fiorentina. I don't even know if he still plays anymore at this point. He went over to Real Madrid for 80 million and did absolutely nothing.
Oh, man. It's just
so
it's frustrating to think about that if we just lose him for a nominal fee.
I know. And that's where it is, right? Where, like, I don't know if he realizes it because, like, for example, if anything, based off of current form, he's going to be lucky to feature for Serbia in the Euro qualifiers because Mitrovic has been playing a lot better than he has when Mitrovic has been in Serbia. So it's like that's going to be a huge this international
wake up call, though. He's getting benched by Keane and he's getting benched by Mitrovic. So wake up, buddy.
Yeah, I want him to do well because if we do well, we do well.
Exactly. Yeah, we want him to do well, but he's not. Just do it. Like, if you're, and I know he's not listening, but
he might.
Like, just to the universe, please.
I just,
please, just like pop some Advil, forget about your back pain, and just give her shit, please.
Yeah, like we need him to do well, because whether or not we want to sell him, that's one thing. Or if he starts scoring goals, that means we start winning more games, right? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like, it's almost like we're privileged, right? Right now, Dave, we're like, we're bitching even though we're in second place. But
because we know, and again, this was said in your post game, it's unsustainable. We know the floor is going to fall out from underneath us. We know this is going to happen, so why would we not preemptively prepare for that moment, right? Like, it's just smart to start preparing now before the floor does fall out.
Essentially, your center backs are holding the fort until you guys get your shit together, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's honestly what it is, because it's like, we went, what, 5 games without conceding? So for us to do that in a 38-game season, we would have to go, I don't know, 26, 27 games without conceding in a season. Cause that's essentially what you're holding this sustainable. Like, if this is air quote sustainable or not, Juve, for what they're doing, would roughly have to go 26, 27 games without conceding. Mm. And I'm not saying those are going to be wins. Those might be 0-0 draws, by the way, mind you. So that is asking a lot. Like, if your strikers are in the current condition that they are, to keep you within striking distance, or to keep you in where you are right now, you would probably need another. So right now we're at 10 games or 11 games. I think
12,
11, 12. Did I miss two? Yeah, we're at 12. Cool. So right. So as you said, roughly about a third into the season. So you would need to do another 13 games like this, right? You would have to do 13 games where you only concede. I'm going to take the Sassuolo out, so I'll do 11, because Sassuolo, I think, was a blip on the radar. I think Juve were just playing way too aggressively than they normally would.
It's an outlier. Science does that. You take away the outlier and
the
mean data. Yeah.
So we take out the Sassuolo game and we go to 11 games. So we've only conceded 3 goals in 11 games. So you would have to do roughly about 15 more games where you only concede three goals. And I think that's
way scoring too, more, right?
Or you get rid of that equation altogether by scoring 2 goals or your strikers hitting numbers and doing stuff. Because, like, for example, you look at Inter right now, Lautaro and Thuram, you want to know how many goal contributions they have?
It's a lot. I know that. What is it?
25. 25 goal contributions between the two. Chiesa and Dusan are combined for 9.
Oh, man, that's not good. All right. So we're going to get terrorist ball in a couple weeks.
Sit back, park the bus. Did you see, speaking of Inter, did you see that dive Thuram did and they gave him a penalty for it?
I didn't see the dive, no. I have to catch up on a lot of the weekend stuff.
You got to watch it. It is comical. He, like, plants both of his toes in the ground, just, like, barely gets flicked, plants both of his toes in the ground and gets a penalty for it.
Oh, man.
Like I said, consistency in what that rule is, because Inter are absolute masterminds when it comes to that rule. I mean, the rule is technically if you make contact and you're able to sell it as obstruction, they'll give you a penalty for it. I don't think it was a pen in my mind. I think it was a dive more than anything, but those guys are masters of manipulation of that.
There's been tons of complaints I've heard specifically from Italy, as well as the EPL. Just the reffing has been horrible, at least from the fans' perspective, right? I mean, I think we're right, because it has been pretty bad.
I don't think the refs will ever say that we suck.
No, but the rest of us are saying it, so it must be true. But yes, it's a problem, and that is one of the fears always playing against Inter, is their dark arts. They're definitely like Sith Lords, right? They're cool in a sense, but you still got to kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah, put a lightsaber right through their chest.
I think the funny thing about, since the game's going to happen after the international break, is the amount of deflection we're going to see by both franchises. Juve's going to say, Inter are favorites to win the Scudetto. They've got this, this, and this. And then, like, Inter's going to blast back and say, no, Juve are... It's like, no, you! No, you! No, you!
I can't wait to report on that press conference.
Pepe Morata says Juventus are physically tough and have way more stuff and way more things than we do, and we're way more cooler. And then Allegri's going to hit back and say, no. You are the favorites for Scudetto, not us. You guys are more complete. Like,
again, so much drama. Just 2 weeks. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be stressful as hell.
I know. And the irony of it is we're in a privileged situation right now, right? Because Milan has been absolutely atrocious. Mm-hmm. Like, they have
It
could look very different, right? Napoli are practically on the verge of firing their coach after losing at home.
There was definitely bets. I wonder what the bets were for how long he would last.
I said Christmas, right? I don't even think I did. I make one. I said that he was going to be the reason why they don't do anything.
You did at least say that. I don't know if you ever gave a date.
I don't think I said he was going to get sacked. Keep him for the rest of the season. Take Napoli out of consideration for us, because you're doing a fantastic job. But interesting thing about that is, a guy that you and I covered over the summer could potentially be their new head coach.
Yes, I'm actually very interested in that. So the rumors, nothing's official, of course, but Igor Tudor might be the next coach of Napoli. There was a report that said, imminently that Garcia is leaving, but the sirens and all that jazz.
About to get the big old sack.
If it was imminent, it would have happened by now.
Yeah, so it would have.
Clearly it's not. I mean, maybe that person doesn't know what the word imminent means.
They keep saying that, like, for some reason, like, I was seeing on reports that they're negotiating for Tudor's contract. Like, they don't have it signed. That's why they haven't sacked Rudy. Like, I guess De Laurentiis doesn't want to sack him and then end up not signing Tudor. So then they're just stuck with their dick in their hand. Like, what the hell do I do now?
They already kind of are, though, in a sense.
It was funny because, like, they called Conte and Conte just sent him to voicemail. He's like, you can't afford me. Sorry.
It's true. And Conte knows that. He knows what he's worth.
You want to know what the preliminary contract was for Tudor? $1.2 million a season. Could you imagine offering Conte that? Conte would look at you and laugh in your face.
He'd be like, one game, 1.2.
He's like, I'll give you half a training session with that salary. Half a training session.
Oh, man.
But I think the biggest question for Napoli... And Napoli fans aren't going to like this. Can they play with a back three?
Because
that team is not built for a back three.
It is not. That's actually an interesting point.
Because you're essentially going to have to blow up. And how the hell does, like, where do you put Krava?
If you play a 3-5-2, he's not a wing back. Second striker, yeah. Like,
That's
the problem. Igor not able to do a 4-3-3? Like, will he go? Like, nope.
He's like Conte. He's like stuck. Like, this is what I'm running, and this is how I'm running it.
Yeah, he is pretty stubborn.
The only thing that might be a little bit different was like what he did at Marseille, back three. It's like a 3-4-3, but instead it's like three at the back, four across, and then like your two attacking midfielders, and then your striker.
Yeah, 2-1.
Like that. He might do that, but. The way that Napoli team plays and the way that they were built, it's always been 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. Like,
yeah, the variations of it. That being said, though, like, tactics aside, the personality might be a perfect fit.
It depends. I think he might clash with the players.
Maybe. But like, it's Tudor Naples, is, right? Like, that like...
I think Tudor is very abrasive and very aggressive, right?
He is, but that's Naples. That's a characteristic of Naples.
Is it though?
Yeah, because they're a rougher city, right?
They had Gattuso that was that kind of coach, and they just ended up not doing anything with it. Like,
well, because Gattuso isn't,
just sucks.
Yeah, unfortunately,
he's just bad.
Where is he now, anyways?
He's somewhere in Belgium. I saw Beppe. Beppe watched a game that he was coaching. Lens?
Now we got to look it up.
It's like, yeah, we had a producer. Hey, Jamie, look up where Gattuso's coaching. It's got to be in Belgium.
He's at Marseille. He's got Tudor's job.
He's at Marseille? Lens is a French team. My dumbass. Why was I thinking that was a Belgian team? I forget French. Mbappe is like right by France.
Yeah, I mean Europe's there's a lot of things that are close to each other there, yeah. But actually that makes it interesting now because Tudor might be going to Napoli. I mean it's the rotations, the coaching carousel.
No, coaching carousel. That's actually funny. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see that, right? And then with Pioli, bad case of the injury bug that hit Milan, and then also their center backs are just really, really bad.
Yeah.
They're struck. It's interesting. I think, and it was kind of ironic because Allegri said it last season, tell Milan to miss 8 of their starters and then come back to me. And Pioli was like, oh, cry me a river. And now that's happening to Pioli this season, and Pioli might actually get fired.
Oh man, this is going to be my one right prediction this whole season is that Milan got injured and sucked.
Yeah.
But I'll take it.
kind of blows because I had them doing quite well on paper because they had a pretty decent squad.
I mean, yeah, they did. And it is unfortunate from their perspective. But
though in my defense, that was before Inter bought X certain players, then I would have changed my thought process.
Yeah. Really. And that was a stipulation, anyways, with those predictions is that the transfer market was not closed. So, you know, subject to change.
Same thing.
But we also did say we were going to readdress that Christmas break and maybe update those predictions. So that's only a few weeks away.
I know. I can't believe it's almost Christmas, right?
Yeah. I mean, Black Friday coming up.
I know. It's like I'm dreading it because it's my birthday in 13 days and I've already got like gray hairs on my beard and on my sideburns.
26th, right?
Yeah. So my birthday is on the Derby.
Oh, that's right. You did say that.
So I'm dreading it. I'm getting older, but also, ugh.
You're definitely at that age. You must be like rounding 30 or something. And like,
well, it's like I checked my beard and I already have gray hairs coming out of my beard and then I have gray hairs over here.
You're fine. I'm just like I just cut mine, but I had the grays and I don't mind it. It looks cool.
Yeah. It's like I don't mind it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh shit, it felt like 10 years ago. I was a vibrating youngster.
Ooh, you said vibrating. I was thinking
vibrant.
Yeah, that was age gracefully, guys. If you're young, congratulations. It doesn't last forever.
Yeah, it goes downhill. Quite quickly, actually.
And then one day you're old and you hate your life.
And then you hate everything around you. And then you just hate kids.
Yeah. Now, speaking of guys that are youthful, there are two players on Juve that have played all 12 games.
One's Bremer.
Okay.
The other one's got to be Big Mac.
No.
Or Loka.
It is Loka. Actually, Mac has played in all 12, but not as a starter.
Okay.
Bremer's at 1,074 minutes. Locatelli, 1,064.
Can we just like take a moment to appreciate how like progressive Bremer's game has been this season compared to last year?
Yes, absolutely. Again, I also want to point out these are our defensive players, as you would expect them to play more.
Yeah.
But just more impressive that they're putting these numbers up. I'll go down the list a bit here. Rabiot, 990, 11 games. Tech, 10 games, 900. Mac, 12 games, 887. Gatti at 10 at 816. Chiesa, 11 games at 775. So big ups to the guys putting the big numbers.
Yeah, and that's always a good sign, right? I mean, you have your youngsters that are playing a lot more consistently, a lot more.
And I bring that up. Sorry, it seemed like kind of a random stat, but that was on our predictions as well. So that, you know, just to update us with where we're.
We are the oracles, as they would say. But yeah, I can't wait to. And I think the Coppa Italia ties. I think who do we have? Salernitana, I believe. But I think that first Coppa Italia game is going to be huge for Dean, for Yildiz, Hans, yeah. And those guys. I think that's really going to have them put their stamp on the roster because Hans did get minutes on Saturday.
Got a few, yeah.
He got nervous. He was nervous, but you know, it's what you expect, dude. And you're like into it, into a do or die situation in a sense. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I'm hoping, but I don't think that, you know, the Derby versus Inter is a good game to throw him in, but
no. And Gatti didn't get the yellow card, so he can start. May not be healthy, but Sandro, I don't know if Sandro gets that start if he's healthy. I think he's still putting Gatti. But that's for another.
I would be shocked. The one thing I would be shocked if Allegri changes the back three.
Yeah, I would.
Would make no sense.
It works.
Makes no sense. Too
well at the current moment.
Yeah, because these.
Sorry,
I was going to say these guys have proven that they can do it. Oh, like, absolutely. They've been able to handle it, so I would be shocked.
And sorry, just to go back, since we did mention Hans, a couple of teams have actually, allegedly, according to Shira, have looked into him. It doesn't say who that were or who that was. I'm going to imagine lower table teams, maybe mid table teams. But I mean, he's noticed, and these are good pieces of news. I don't think we would loan him out. I think not in the current iteration
as a dry loan. If you got, you wouldn't move him if there's no additions in January.
We don't have the depth currently. But that being said, this is good news that we're getting news that people are interested. Same with Illing. I mean, people have been looking at him. People are apparently are still looking at him. Positive. That means they're doing good things.
Yeah, and I kind of want to phrase this because, like, I know people are concerned with us not, like, taking a chance on the youth and not playing them and et cetera. But, look, I still think loaning or sending players out can do some good. Like, you look at Barinache and Sule. Like,
yeah. Unfortunately, they lost to Inter this week. They didn't show up, but.
Yeah. And then also Kaio George, that's there as well. But he's got a little bit of an uphill battle to get the starting number nine spot. But Barinache and Sule have played practically every game since they've been there. Like they have
and Kyle needs to get his fitness back anyways, right? So he's not going to be the starter, but he needs to at least get those minutes.
He hopped in and got an assist one game. So it's like he's there to contribute. But I think it does solids, right? Because, like, for example, we might not see Barinache as like a future Juventus player. Some might not. But with him playing consistently at Frosinone and playing well, gives you a bargaining chip that you can use to sell him.
He could be like a Mandragora or something like that.
Yeah,
you'll see him playing for Torino in a couple years, perhaps, or he breaks out and he comes back.
Yeah, he stays with you. Same thing with Sule, right? Where it's like he can dominate, have a very good season, and then it's like maybe he doesn't fit. And relax, I'm not saying that he doesn't. People, don't take me out of context here. But, like, for example, he might not be what Juve are looking for, and Juve can flip him for 40, 45 million. That's a huge plus Valenza. You take an academy player and you sell him for 40 to 45 million. That's huge.
It's all money.
I'm not advocating for it. I'm making this clear. I'm not advocating for it.
The option's there. The business can be done.
Yeah, having that option there that you can do something like that. So it's like, yeah, maybe it might not be a bad idea to send out Hans on a loan, a dry loan to a team that, you know, will benefit from his style. Because, like, whoever thought that Sule and Barinache would work at Frosinone deserves the biggest applause ever, because Sule is able to carry the ball and play with the ball at Frosinone. So it's perfect for him.
Beautiful. Yes, I love it myself. We talked, I mean, we went back and forth. It was a good conversation. We should at least briefly, at the very least, talk about the actual goals we did have. The two, both off the set play.
We never covered those. That's actually funny.
No, we did. So that's why I'm bringing it back here at the 53rd minute. Let's cover them, because, I mean, you have to, don't you? And it's Rugani. You got one, but we'll talk first with Bremer, since it was the first goal.
That was a number nine header. That was such a clean header.
I knew the score. I knew when the goals were going to happen. And when Bremer scored, I was like, wow, that was nice. I like that. I even had like that reaction sitting on the couch. Like, whoa, that was, yeah.
Yeah, he climbed up and got it.
So I don't know what else is there to say. He wasn't marked as well. That's something I noticed. He just lost everybody. He was on his own island and just towered.
Yeah, he towered it in.
Just directed it. Yeah, that's the thing. He had the power. He had the accuracy. There was no fault you could really say about that whole situation. He just did it perfectly.
Oh, he just thumped it in like it was nobody's business. And then Even with the Rugani goal, Rugani was at the right place at the right time.
It just like smashes his waist or wherever it just
smashes his waist. Hits his waist, hits the crossbar, and then goes in. And then like Dusan's already like in the net. I don't even know what the hell he was doing there. Yeah. Like it was kind of funny, but Rugani, right place, right time. Was he looked at our forwards and said, "That's how you finish a goal."
Yeah, but that was funny too because again, I knew that there was going to be a goal. And it was Rugani, which I was surprised when I saw on the score sheet when I looked at it first, right? So it's like, okay, let's see. It's probably another nice header or something. And then I just see the ball bounce around and like smashes off of him and goes in. And then he just starts chuckling like, I can't believe that's my goal.
I know. He's just like, I got that. I got that.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, whatever. I'll take that.
This is me being selfish, but I kind of want Juve to put him on Twitch with Beppe again, because like they were reviewing his defensive clearances against Fiorentina on the Twitch channel with Giuseppe. Like I want them to review that goal, but with Beppe. I think that would just be pure gold. Yeah, I think Rugani would say something absolutely hilarious for it. Cause that to me is like, it's one of those like one in a million goals that are just historically hilarious.
Yeah. Speaking of historic goals, we got to mention it. Do we?
We can.
Marco?
That was wild.
My Lord. Was that like just bullshit? Like what happened there?
My dad was saying, I think he tried crossing that, but absolutely shanked it.
Yeah. There's no way anybody's taking a shot from there.
No.
Absolutely insane. That was just about the halfway mark of the field.
I think that, I hate saying it, but I think that one's goal of the season.
Well, that's what Twitter was saying, yeah. Because that's how I noticed, right? Because again, I was busy this whole weekend. I didn't really get to catch the games. But I saw the thing like, oh, this is definitely going to go down as the goal of the season. I'm like, okay, let's see what this is. And I was like, oh my God, that went in.
Yeah, that's a Puskas. Like, I hate to admit it, that is a Puskas award waiting to happen. Because it's like, so I have it pulled up right now on my phone because obviously we can't share it for copyright reasons. But like, he kind of just yoinks it. Like, because the thing is like, he's on the left touchline. Like, he's literally on the left touchline.
Yeah.
And then what he was trying to do is it looks like he was trying to play in Dumfries because Dumfries is making a back shoulder run. And then he just kind of hoofs it, but I think he shanks it because he's running at full speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a goalkeeper, like you should technically be fired for letting something in like that. Like that is a howler. Like,
mm-hmm. The goalie should not have let that in. But,
and I'm not taking away from DeMarco, right? Because that was a hell of a shot.
But was it?
Yeah. He's gonna go in the locker room. It's like, bro, did you like mean to shoot that? Or like, how did that work? And he's like, no, totally meant to shoot it.
Yeah. But I mean, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. It goes down as the current. I mean, unless somebody wants to disagree with us, please do throw it down in the comments. But
you gotta call balls and strikes, man. Like I think that's the thing with being like objective, right? Like people say that they're objective, but they're really not by not calling certain things. It's like, yes, I understand the rivalry, guys. I get it. I know it, but that was a hell of a shot.
Yeah. Cross like, shot, whatever.
Cross. It was a hell of a cross.
It was a hell of a goal. That's what it was. It was a goal.
You know, at the end of the day. Tip your cat to it. Unfortunately, you have to. It's like, I can't sit there and be like, no. Like I can make fun of them for the really terrible flop that Thuram did. And I encourage you guys to watch it, but look, I think we'll end with the inner game, but I think the one thing Juve players have to work, watch out for, and I'm not going to say this is like a victim mentality, but be very careful with it because the games nowadays are being heavily influenced by the officials. And I'm not trying to say Juve versus everybody or some other bullshit like that, but the first goal that Moise Kean got denied against Hellas Verona, turns out they used the wrong angle. They used the wrong frame. On VAR, they released the audio. Oh, you weren't there for it because you were out when that happened. So they said, man, "Oh,
this is huge news." Okay, yes,
for you, yeah. So, long story short, guys, the VAR room, the audio got released, the analysis got released. So it turns out the frame that they used that determined Keane to be offside was well past when Bremer passed the ball. They had another frame when Bremer was just about to pass the ball. Keane's onside. So they robbed him of that.
Is this one like a quarter of his heel was offside?
Yes.
That's, I mean, and that's not even within the spirit of the rule. You know my argument there, but like,
yeah. It's just... it's kind of interesting because I'm going to give a shout out to Colin because Colin told us that one show. He's like, how do we know if the technology within the margin of error and whatnot? Like,
that's true. It's like when a cop pulls you over, which he did today. And, you know, that they have to, you know, they can show you, they have to show you the speed, right? And that device that they have has a margin of error. And it's, I think it's at like 1% these days, right? But like,
yeah.
But they tell you this is what the margin of error, just like I work on electronics. This electronic has a margin of error of 5% or 10%. You know, because they tell you this is what this is how technology works. But these people, if they tell you, then they can't get away with things.
These people, translation.
These people.
The VAR folk.
I mean, that's actually a relevant thing too, because our old boy, I know Colin will know this, us Canadians, our boy Don Cherry got fired from the CBC for saying those people.
I know. I loved him so much, man. He made Hockey Night in Canada so much fun.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, right? So like, for example, Inter get a penalty off a technicality of the rule, and we got an offside off an air quotes technicality of a rule because there's a margin of error for it. So I think Juve need to be very, very careful, especially on the defensive end, because Inter, whether you want to call it clean football or not, or being smart or being, you know, dirty per se, Inter are going to look to generate penalties like that because it's a loophole in the rules, because the rule says it's a black and white rule, and VAR makes things a lot more black and white. There's no interpretation at this point. Yeah. So like, for example, watch the Frosinone penalty. You'll understand what I mean. But we've had instances, right, where Rugani's going in to grab the ball and Edinjenko puts his foot right in front of Rugani as he's going for the ball, and it's a penalty for Inter. You got to be careful with things like that. And I'm not, and this isn't me saying Inter's a bunch of cheaters and yada, yada, yada. Juve's defensive line have to watch out for that. You need to. You got to watch out for rules like that, because VAR and the referee have influenced more games than they should in recent history, whether it be yuck-ups or mistakes, or because, you know, certain technicalities like Keane's offside or like this penalty.
And it really is across the league, but if
it is, it's not.
It is, you can leverage that as well.
Yeah, it's like, for example, I'm not saying, oh my gosh, the referee hates Juve and just Juve. Like, I've seen it happen on multiple instances. I think us as Juventini, we only specifically watch us. So when it happens to us, it's us against that. So like, I'm not coming at this from a victim mentality. I'm coming out because the rules, the current iterations of the rules suck, and VAR have made it worse. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the rules blew, but VAR became the magnifying glass that made it look blatantly shitty. Because, like, for example, one thing that needs to get fixed is the offside rule, right? It's something that needs to...
We have videos on this stuff.
Exactly. So, like, that's the one thing that needs to get... And the problem is, like, the rule sucks because VAR makes it look absolutely atrocious, right? Because if VAR didn't exist, Keane wouldn't have been ruled offsides there.
No.
Offside at all.
Like, we'd still have bad calls, of course, but...
Because...
I don't know.
It would be bad... Like, there would be some bad calls, but it wouldn't be like hairline calls like this, right? Because like, offside was up to the linesman interpretation. Was he in an offside position? Like, because a linesman's not going to say, oh, his ankle was, you know, off.
Did he have a clear advantage?
And that's what kind of took it away, right? It took away the interpretation. It made it black and white. Same thing for a while. It was the handball rule.
It makes it black and white, but the technology isn't implemented in a black or white way. Which then gives you shades of gray.
And it that's does.
Where we are now. We're just in a gray area.
Exactly. Because, for example, a lot of those times are like those penalties, those contact penalties in the box. Referee would normally not give a penalty for that. But and then VAR tells them, hey, take a look at this. And then the referee watches it. And then you see, because slow motion makes everything 100 times worse than it actually is. Mm-hmm. Like that. Let's be honest here. Like if I punch Dave, like if I jab Dave like this, just a nice innocent jab, you look at it in slow motion, it looks like I nearly killed the poor guy. Like that's how slow motion makes things. Because
they do that in movies. They do things in slow motion and speed it up.
Yeah. So like if I'm a player and I take contact, any kind of contact, I over exaggerate it, because in slow motion, you're selling it in a sense. It's like WWE wrestling, where it's like you fall backwards or you do that, it sells the move a lot better. So now these referees are looking at VAR and they see, like, for example, Moise Kean slapping the dude across the face. They look at it. He was perfectly fine. It wasn't an issue. But then they look at it on the VAR. That look, that stiff arm, that behind slap looks a lot worse than it was.
Oh, man, that too.
So you just got to be careful.
You're ending this. You're ending this, leaving me angry here. Yeah. Come on, man. You got to leave happy.
I mean, I can tell a joke.
No, not one of your jokes. I want a good joke.
Wow.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Wow. I love it. See, you start off on trashing Vlahovic and you end off on trashing Barr. It's like nothing changes.
I swear, I'm like going to go down in history as the guy that just doesn't like Dusan, even though it's like, I'm not saying that I don't like him. He's not performing. Just leave me alone.
Well, hopefully in a couple weeks, we do have a bit of time to the next game now. We gotta do a couple things in that time, right? So, that being said, y'all need to get on the FC 24 team here. I mean, we're killing it. We're moving up divisions. If you are on YouTube, go into our description. There is a link there. I also will, here you go, barcode up in the top left of that screen. You can scan that, drop in. You don't need the app to drop in. If you need it, you can check it out just through your browser. But it is just basically a community. You know, there's audio or just text or both or whatever, but we all drop in there. We play some FC 24 and the boys are killing it. They're killing it again on Saturday. I just popped into the server to see, even though I was busy and everyone was in there having a great time. You guys were up late too.
Yeah. Midnight. Yeah,
going after it. So definitely check that out. So that will happen. I mean, almost every night, probably like 5 times a week, the guys are going.
I think so.
We try to at least drop in once in a while. We're busy doing the videos and all that jazz as well, but the guys are there on their side, on their own side. So like that, and that's the whole point, right? Community driven stuff. It doesn't have to be us that are babysitting. Like, the community is out there having fun, doing their thing, and just join in, because why not? It's free. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be doing some of that. And I mean, we tend to try to find something special during the international break. So
there's always stuff.
So stay tuned, essentially. And we will definitely come at you with something fresh. Dash, do you have anything fresh?
Nope. I just say thanks for tuning in, everybody. Just remember to stay hydrated, check on your friends, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, because, you know, old podcast wise, we'll see you in 2 weeks. YouTube stuff, we'll probably see you soon, shorter, later.
See you soon. We're taking shrooms.
Oops. Oh, what?
It's gonna be a fun night.
But anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in. Remember, do the housekeeping stuff, like, subscribe, share to a friend, cat, dog, or uncle. Episode 233, Walgani is out.